Hey, so today we're going to catch up on a few of the changes and pivots I made in my business during the pandemic. Are you ready? Welcome to the St. Michael Podcast. What up, what up, what up, what up? What's going down? Welcome to the St. Michael Podcast, one man's attempt at business, family, and comedy. I'm your host, the one and only, Michael Agbajan. And look, do you know where we at? I gotta ask you, do you know where we at right now? We at the 68th episode. And look, I want to say thank you to everyone who has followed me since day one. Keep spreading the word. If anybody asks, say, hey, look, you got to listen to this podcast, St. Michael Podcast. He talks about his family, his businesses. He talks about his comedy. He talks about what the next move is. You know what I'm saying? Putting us on the game. Letting us know what's coming ahead, what stocks. Look, everything I've already said before, especially on Dogecoin, like I said a couple of months ago, people got to listen up to. You know, but, you know, before we continue, I have to know, are you flossing? Because I stay flossing every single day, morning and night. I stay flossing. And I hope you flossing too, because you got to keep those pearly whites clean and healthy. So if you don't have that in your regimen, your daily regimen right now, add that to it, because you got to stay flossing to keep yourself right. You dig? You feel me? But yeah, man, I'm feeling good, feeling great, because, you know, there's so many great things have changed and happened with my business, you know, through this entire pandemic. Just so y'all know, we didn't stop. The car wash didn't stop one bit. You know what I'm saying? We kept that going. The podcast didn't stop one bit, not 1 week. You know what I'm saying? The barber school did stop, though. The barber school stopped for about a month. Yeah, we had to stop that and put that on a pause and figure that out. You know, they made everyone stop. And but yeah, we back. We bike. You know what I'm saying? Everything's back. Everything's good, and I want to let you all know on a few of the pivoting moves that I've made to make sure that we was in a pre-pandemic state, because that's where we're at right now. We're so busy right now. The demand is so high is that we're actually at pre-pandemic status right now. And I tell people, if you want to grow, how do you do that? Hire and grow. Now, those are the two key words you need to understand in this one. And look, there's a psychology to it that's very difficult for most people to understand when they're trying to scale, is that they're thinking, I need to make a certain amount of income before I hire someone else to be in the position of whatever it is that I'm doing or all the things I'm doing. But understand this, you actually stop yourself from making a certain income when you don't hire, because it's all on you. So you're only able to kind of put a drop in a bucket for all these different type of hats that you're wearing. So you have to actually hire someone in order to make more money, to actually pay them or pay someone else. So it actually is something that you have to do, you know. And if you could get past that if I hire someone, I'm going to go broke because of what we're making right now. If you could get past that, then you could know, then you know that you need to hire in order to scale. And, you know, if you really want to break it down, you need to hire the right people, because you hire the wrong ones or in the wrong positions, or you have the wrong positions with the right people, same issue. You know, one of the key parts to one of my biggest first hires, which has been the best, which has been my executive assistant. She is super awesome. One of the best investments I ever made. And, you know, she's executive assistant, but she focuses in customer support. And right now, my customers are so well taken care of right now. It's unbelievable. The consistency, unheard of. Like, we just upgraded our customer service to the level of excellence to make sure that all customers, members, on demand, everything, everyone's taken care of. And what led me to that hire is that I knew that I'm answering the phone all the time, trying to conduct business for the customers. Even sometimes I have to pull off on the side of the road to hurry up and try to book a customer. And sometimes my family, you know, is with me. So I'm like, I've got to pull over to get all the information down. Sometimes the delay to putting gas in the car because I'm getting this information down. And so I knew that was something that took a lot of my time that wasn't really productive for me. So that immediately told me, delegate. I have to immediately delegate that. And, you know, I spoke with a few people about what the type of position is, and we came up to the executive assistant with a focus in customer support, and that's exactly what she's been doing, and she's been doing awesome with it. We even started including, we never did email blasts in the past, and mainly, you know, it's funny because the email blasts that we never did to like our customers, because think about it, if we have over 3,000 customers that we have their emails, but we don't send anything, what's the use of that? Right. So we're leaving money on the table with that. So for the fact is that now that I have, you know, my assistant, she sends out a new ad every week, every single week. Right. And so far that has increased our income by 25% just on that, just by keeping us on top of mind for people to let them know that, hey, we're still here. We still do business in this way. We have new deals, new things that might work for you. And they're loving it. You know, they respond, they buy, and that's really has helped. So all these different type of innovations and creative opportunities can be met when you have, you know, better time, more time to focus on what's more important. And after that, we're hiring, you know, we always had a bunch of detailers. But my job right now is I focus on hiring and training detailers. And now we're bringing in a detail manager who could do that. You know, hire and train detailers, a salary job. But here's the crazy part of what's going on right now is that we have such a juicy, nice position out there, you know, and usually when we get put a position out there for, let's say, a detailer or a car washer or anything like that, we get like 300 inquiries, right? But now we put this out for the detail manager. What we're thinking is going to be madhouse, bananas. But we only got 5 inquiries. And I'm like, What's going on? Why, like, maybe the ad's wrong, maybe the title's incorrect, or maybe there's something that's just not happened. I couldn't figure it out. And then to realize, I saw on the news and I saw through all these other reports that, wow, 42% of businesses are having trouble completely filling any position because of unemployment. And that's crazy because, you know, and look, I'm not hating on anybody who's taking unemployment. Get your government bread, because that's easy dough. You know what I'm saying? That's easy dough right there. Get your government bread. But what I'm trying to say is that because it's you can make equal or sometimes more than what you would have made at your job doing work that you probably didn't want to do anyways, and you can make that same amount at home saving, even from that, even being able to increase your TikTok reach, increase your social media reach, which all, you know, with your new dances and with your videos, video game streaming. What? You could do all that on unemployment, more power to you. But right now I'm telling you that it's making business owners out there struggle a little bit, but it's okay. Cause you got to get creative. You have to get creative in order to figure out how to fill the things that need filling. As simple as that said, you know, but yeah, you know, that's kind of where we're at. But, you know, there's other discoveries that we've made in our business that's actually helped us grow and pivot, like a particular customer who gave us a problem. But usually those are the best opportunities when there's a problem. When the customer has a problem, that usually leads to the best outcomes. You know, we either make them a huge fan or they create some level of growth in our business based on what we didn't see, based on what that customer's feedback was. But we had a particular customer and he said, hey, I have a bunch of dealerships and I want to work with you all. I hear great things and I want you all to come do my vehicle first and then we'll go from there to see about these other dealerships, right? Okay, so sent one of our best guys. Boom, he heads over there, cleans the car. He said he had to rush, but hey, that's neither here nor there. The guy got his car back, said he loved it, tipped him $70. And then he called, you know, a few hours later and said, hey, the guy needs to come and touch up a few things. Okay, no problem. Sent the guy back to touch up a few things. Then he said, okay, what would you like me to touch up? Then he tells the detailer, which he called me and told me, He said, hey, he told me he wants me to bring it to a car wash. I was like, what? A car wash? Like, yeah, like a self-serve car wash with like a power washer or whatever. I was like, oh, okay, so what's the issue? You know, he's like, I don't know. I think it's his wheel wells, you know, which is a part where the wheel is. There's some, you know, dirt over there. So basically he's like, I'm just going to take his vehicle over there. And I'm like, man, this is so risky. So much liability on this one particular customer. But hey, look, let's just get it done. He already paid. Either that or we give him a refund. So he went and took care of it, took all the time we needed, you know, cleaned everything, brought the car back. Customer loved it, right? And then that led us to say, we need to have a premium power wash option. Because right now, if you don't already know, we clean vehicles probably approximately about a cup of water, maybe a little bit more sometimes, depending on how dirty the vehicle is, but we're super efficient with our water use. So we don't have any type of water waste or anything like that. So most of our customers think it's magic when we clean their vehicles. And it is magic. It's true magic. Or you can call it true love. Who knows? But when we, that helps us with 95% of the vehicles in any city, right? So, you know, all the high-end vehicles, they're not mudding or doing anything like that. But that 5%, those duallys, those Jeeps, those vehicles that are a little bit more utility, those are the ones that give us the most trouble, because you get there and you have an efficient cleaning style, and then you look at something that has mud and dirt all over it, and you're like, man, it's going to take me, instead of this being an hour and a half job, it's now going to be a 4-hour job. So basically, you know, we added the power washing option, which people have already used it already. And look, now we just went from 95% availability to the entire world to 100%. I know we're still local. We're still going to go out to different cities and, you know, states and jurisdictions as we grow. But we're doing it one step at a time. And that power wash option now makes us 100% unstoppable. You understand? Do you hear that? 100% unstoppable. So after we get that person in that detail manager position to do all that, we're definitely going to get someone who could help with the marketing and branding. But look, I had to put all these things on delay because all these surprise parties happened to your boy. And I want to let you all know about this surprise party. One of our best guys, the guy who I sent to go take care of the one with the guy with all the dealerships, whatever. But so after that, after we solved that problem, the next day, he didn't show up to work. We called him. This guy's in a whole nother state. I'm in Arizona. I said, what? What's going on? He says, you know, an emergency. Someone in my family passed away. He told me more specific, but I don't want to put his business seller out there like that. So I was like, well, we have like 40 appointments for you this entire week. It just rained. It's super busy. And now you're just gone. He says, yeah, I know. I'm one of, you know, seven in my family. I'm the only boy, and I'm helping all these women, and they're crying, and all this stuff is happening, and it's a lot of stress on me. Just pray for me. I was like, okay, do you know what time, you know, when you'll be back? And he says, May 11th. And at this moment, I'm like, 3 weeks with no heads up? But look, I love my employees, so, you know, I could be nice about that, but sometimes I always wonder, like, am I being too nice? You know, is this the result of me being too nice? You know, someone just skirting off to another state, no heads up? Or, you know, like the first thing I would think, that if you're going to leave to another place, even in the case of an emergency, you're going to make sure that things are secure first, right? You're going to make sure that your door is locked. You're going to make sure you have your phone charger, and you're going to make sure that you still have your job. Because if you don't have a job when you get back, then what you going to do then, right? So, you know, the fact that we communicated, things are all good now, but it was a problem before, and we move forward. That's all we can do, is we move on and move forward, and we continue to grow, and we continue to push, because being pandemic-proof, not stopping during a pandemic, and look, this podcast kept going during the pandemic, can't nothing stop. When you start something, don't ever plan on stopping it. Even when you take a break, it gets dangerous. I took a break from stand up because all the, you know, the stages were closed. And now that things are opening back up, I'm about to make my way back. But that transition, trying to go back into something after a break, whew, fire. That's pretty hard. It's pretty hard. And, you know, you have to fill out not only the extra space that you need, because right now I take a language class every day, learning ASAN, you know, which is our, you know, native language, learn ASAN every night at 9 p.m. So that's 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. I learn that. And then from that, I have to, you know, when I go to open mics or any stage, really, it's always at night. So it's usually anywhere between 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. So now I have to adjust my language class, you know, in order to, you know, do more stage time. And that's what's happening right now, because we in Texas and we all the way back open. And what you're going to see here, what's happening here in Texas, you're going to start seeing other states too. You're going to have other states who are trying to fill their jobs and are having trouble filling their jobs. You're going to have other states that are trying to get back to how things were. But you have to remember one thing is that, you know, stop trying to make up for old time missed and understand how much time did you waste before the pandemic, you know? It should have helped you refine to understand what was good time and what was wasted time. And that's just a lesson to learn. But, you know, let me leave you with this. This is a nice little lesson I learned earlier. I don't know if it's a lesson, but it's definitely a thing that I think the universal number to, okay, there's a concept. Let me just try to make this clear. All right. So the number two is special to me, because I feel like two is easy to say that there's two sides to everything, right? And one side is everything you see, and the other side is everything you don't see. So I feel like when you make a decision and when you talk to people and you're trying to figure out things about anybody, just understand that there's two sides to everything, what you know and what you don't know. So hopefully I can leave you with that as we continue to the next segment with me, myself, and Bly with a juicy conversation. We turned up a little bit for 420, so this should be an interesting conversation. So I hope you enjoy that as much as we did. Love you so much. I will see you later. And peace.
Some type of food.
Of what?
Some Asian cuisine. Oh my God, this video is crazy. I might have to watch it later, but oh, they're making like pasta? Baby, if you watch this video, you'd be upset. Okay, let me stop, because it's like it's like addictive.
Real?
Yeah. Okay, I'm ready.
Oh, what up?
Oh, we started already?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed.
Nah, but I'm going to take it out anyways.
For real?
I don't know. How you doing?
I'm good. What's going on? I don't know why. That's going to be like my go-to.
That's your go-to?
What's going on?
Man, we're feeling good today because we got good news.
What's the good news?
Oh, you don't know?
No. Well, I know a few good news, so I don't know what you're going to tell the people.
No, the George Floyd verdict.
Oh, that's great news.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, that's awesome.
Yeah. And somebody on Clubhouse had a room that said, get your Chauvin loud pack.
What? What does that even mean?
I don't know. I think they were just trying to sell something for 420.
People on Clubhouse, they just be doing the most. I swear, them people, they just get on my nerves.
It's a lot.
Mm-hmm, they be doing the absolute most.
But you don't want to join?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, I like, you know, listening when you're on it. And then you hear me in the background. Who is that? Is that so-and-so? I can tell. I can just tell by the voice. Like, I already know all the people.
Yeah,
you can hear
certain voices, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't want to get on it. I'm good.
I feel that people... Now that I've been on there for a while, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like people are identifiable by their sound of their voice and how they speak.
Oh, yeah.
To where it's almost like you could pick someone out from a crowd mm-hmm. by the way they talk.
Definitely.
It's like a snowflake or a fingerprint. Like, I don't think, you know, there's like a Shazam for the voice. That'd be cool.
Well, y'all know my voice. They're like, well, that's Bly.
Yeah, you think out of a crowd, if you were just talking, people like, oh yeah, that's Bly.
No, I don't think so. Oh, maybe, I don't know. When I hear myself on like when I listen to the podcast mm-hmm. and I hear myself, I'm like, oh, I sound like that. I wouldn't be able to pick out my own voice in a lineup.
One guy, it's so funny. I was on the phone with Apple mm-hmm. one time. And they're trying to assist me with something. The guy was like, oh man, you do a podcast? I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, what's your podcast name? And he's like, it's this. And I, you know, he looked it up. Oh, say Michael. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's you? I was like, yeah. He said, oh, it's weird. It looks like your voice will be deeper.
What?
Yeah.
Based on what?
I don't know.
The name of the podcast?
No, just based on how I look. That's what he said. Based on how you look, it looks like your voice, like, I thought your voice was going to be deeper. I just thought it was like a very weird thing to say.
Maybe because you appear to be a strong black man. Strong black man. Maybe. I don't know.
I thought it was so weird. I was like, I don't even know what to say to that.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
Yeah. So how was your off day?
Yeah, today was my off day. It didn't really feel like an off day though.
Why?
I mean, it kind of did. In the beginning, it was pretty good. Like, I got a facial, so my face is probably all shiny if y'all are watching a podcast. But mostly, it was just deep cleaning for me. It was the deep cleaning for me. So I deep cleaned and mopped and swept. And yeah, you know, we still exist out there, people, you know, wives and moms who have full-time jobs and a side gig, you know, we still clean our own house and cook dinners. Like, we don't have a maid or a chef.
But you want a maid, right?
I would like one. Yeah. I mean, not somebody that comes every day, but maybe like once or twice a month.
Yeah.
I think that would be good. So they can kind of deep clean and I can just kind of like, you know, do the touch-ups, you know, every day.
The touch-ups.
Yeah.
It feels like an in-house.
Mm-hmm. No, like somebody who lives here.
Yeah, like they have their own room, and mm-mm. just like Jeffrey.
No. Yeah. I could just see them getting extra friendly with you because you know you're so friendly. You're super friendly. So if I could see her getting super close. I'd be like, no, ma'am. I'm gonna need you to back up.
You can see that with in house.
Yeah, she'd probably be super old too.
Why?
I don't know. She gonna have to be.
Oh, like
if she's gonna be living up in this house, she's gonna be in her late 70s.
Would you want her to have a uniform?
Yes. What do you mean? She would have to wear a uniform.
For real?
Yeah, you know, it has to look very like legit, like it's a job.
Like you're talking about like the old school kind of.
Well, no, not that type of like butler maid type uniform. No, but with just something on. Like, you know, maybe a t-shirt with like the name of the company she works for or her own company. You know, just more of a uniform, I guess.
Talking about the person who just comes by, not the in-house person.
The in-house person.
Oh, the in-house person would have a uniform every day?
She's gonna have to wear a
uniform. Get out of here. How do they live?
She's not going to be walking around in her pajamas cleaning my house. Like, I get that you live here, but you don't live here. Like, this is your job, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to put on a uniform.
Man, I get that.
Yeah, she got to wear a uniform Monday through Friday.
You
got
to be in a certain house to justify it. I feel like if let's say a 3-bedroom apartment and a mm-hmm. maid who's living in, that's like too small.
Yeah, that's too small. They probably just give her like not even a bedroom, probably like the little closet that like the guest bedroom closet. They're like, hey, you sleep in there.
But if it's like in a good part of town, maybe it's a good.
I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, I think it's kind of cool to have like your in-house help, you know, live with you. But then at the same time, that could get weird because like when you want your private time with your husband and mm-hmm. you know, wife or whatever, like the maid would have to be on the opposite side of the house, and then y'all would always have to like close the doors a lot. You know,
or the maid would have friends come over too.
See, that would be weird too. Because I don't want you to bring your friends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that. That would be my rule. Rule number one.
Friends.
No friends.
Family.
You can bring family, but like it would be only on certain days. Like, you would have a schedule. It would be like, okay, every other Sunday you can bring your family over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I would be extremely strict with our with our in-house maids. So maybe we just don't need one.
People keep quitting.
They were like, what's your turnover?
Yeah.
I'm like, that is really high.
Wow. Oh, how much would you pay for something like that, though?
For in-house?
In-house.
Because it would have to be like anything. Well, I mean, not anything. Let me not. Let me not.
I know.
I was so confident. I take that back. I'm not that mean. So when I said I wouldn't pay anything is only because I only said that because she's living here rent free.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said that. But I take that back. So She'll live here rent free, and I'll buy all her groceries. I'll buy everything. She wouldn't even need money. But if she wanted money, I would still pay her just a little small, you know, a little small something, something.
A little.
Just a little something. You know, she want to go shopping. You know, I might break off a little bit every week.
A tip?
No. I would pay her every week. It would be a small salary, but I don't know if she would get paid every week. I don't know. What would people do? What would they do? What would Jesus do? He would pay them every week.
No. First, I think it would be a weekly, and have to be like a really good wage, because they're like missing out on, like, think about the life Jeffrey didn't have.
But think of the life that he got.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's living in a mansion. Yeah. Like, I don't think he was complaining.
But I don't think it works to his advantage. It's not like it's his mansion.
It's not, but he still was able to bring people over. Remember, he would have parties and stuff like that with other little maids and their little skinny outfits. But I think, but his family was all out the country or something like that. Remember?
Like England or something like that.
Yeah. And then he had a son that like randomly popped up who was only like using him for his money or whatever. I love The Fresh Prince. It was such a good show.
Yeah, no, that was like top show.
Yeah, definitely. It still comes on. But I mean, yeah. We haven't watched regular cable in probably like 2 or 3 months, yeah. If you think about it. We have not watched TV.
How about the reunion?
What reunion? We still haven't watched that either. The only thing we watched was that show on Netflix, the weird kind of show. WandaVision? Yeah, WandaVision.
It's not Netflix. Disney Plus.
Yeah, Disney Plus. That's the last thing that we've seen. But you and I, we have not watched TV. I have no clue what's on TV right now.
I know.
Except when we go to your parents on Sundays to pick up the boys. Because you know your mom is always watching. What is that show?
90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, 90 Day Fiancé. So we be all in it like, ooh.
It's good though. It's good. Listen, yeah.
But we don't watch TV here, so.
I wonder if that's like a habit. A good habit.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, it's like the boys, they kind of take over everything. And then once it's time to lay them down, they, for some reason, they have to turn the TV off. They don't want us watching TV while they're asleep. They're so weird about it. So they'll turn the TV off, and that's like 8:30, 9 o'clock. They're in the bed, and then just you and I are just up talking until it's like time to go to bed. So I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So,
well, are you ready for this weekend? It's gonna be busy.
This weekend is gonna be crazy.
Yeah. Before we fly out,
we are going on a trip, y'all.
You excited?
I'm excited. I don't even think we should tell the people because they're going to get jealous. We don't want y'all to get jealous. We want to take y'all with us.
Yeah.
Hey, it'll be fun.
Yeah, but it has to be a good deal, though.
Well,
if we pay for everyone who's listening to come.
Oh, well, this trip was, I mean, if we would have booked everybody's flight the same time we booked ours, mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind paying for it.
That's true.
Because we got a really good deal. Like a really, really, really good deal. And I could not pass it up. I remember seeing it and like telling you about it. It was like, I don't know, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. And he was like, well, let's think about it. Let's not pull the trigger. And I was like, this is a once in a lifetime, you know, not trip, but as far as like how much it cost.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I'm up to like 1 a.m, like putting in the numbers, trying to get the dates right and all this and that. And I was like, babe, look, I'm going to go ahead and buy it. If we change our mind, we just change our mind when the time comes. He's like, okay, cool. And then I purchased it.
And I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
There's some people I tell the deal. Mm-hmm. I say, all right, so for the flight, I was like, it's like $179 each. And they're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I say, and then like to where we're staying, it's like, 400 for like 4 days or something like that. People are like, what?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, Hawaii's like, man.
I know. We're going to Hawaii, crazy. Guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited. I'm definitely excited. But yeah, we're going to be there for 4 days. And we booked it. I mean, it was super cheap. It's kind of like going to Houston.
Yeah.
Like how cheap the flight was. So we're actually going to save this trip for our 5-year anniversary. We were going to go to Hawaii, but I could not wait. I was like, nope, we're going now. We need a vacation. So we're going to Hawaii.
Yeah, I know. That's going to be live.
Do my little luau.
Have you ever you never been to Hawaii? So
no, I remember I had a birthday, I want to say my 13th birthday, I threw a luau. Like I've always wanted to go to Hawaii.
I wonder why. Like what you liked about it?
I don't know, just like I love flowers, so I guess the flower part of it. And then you know I love a good drink. Not at 13, well maybe at 13 I did 13. Love a good drink. Yeah, I know we used to drink all the time, but Yeah, so I think, well, not all the time. Let me not say that. Yeah, we never drink to get drunk. But, you know, as a kid, you would just sip whatever your parents got at home. But, yeah, just, you know, outdoorsy, just beautiful weather, just very tropical. That's always attracted me to Hawaii and the food. Like, I cannot wait to get the food. And people keep saying, oh, Hawaii is so expensive. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, for what we booked, you know, what we saved booking this trip, it's like we could just use that money to ball out in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
You know, someone mentioned about this idea, mm-hmm. right? About, what is it? You said something about bartending, right?
Yeah.
All right. Their business idea, I think they're already doing it, where they get like 11, 12, 13 year olds, 14, doing like a kid's birthday and they're like bartenders.
Mm-mm.
What do you think about that?
Mm-mm. I don't want, first of all, you know me, I don't even drink around the boys. Like mm-hmm. they have no clue what I drink, period. So to expose my kids to, I guess, fake alcohol and making drinks and stuff. But then when you think about it, it's kind of like you buy your kids toy guns. I don't, but there's, yeah. you know, toy guns out there. So it's kind of like the same thing. You're exposing them to like the dumb stuff in this world. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I just think that's weird. So they're making like little birthday cocktails and stuff.
Yeah. And I don't know. When I was listening to it, I was like, that sounds problematic.
Yeah, it really does. Because I feel like if you're doing the playful, oh, we're going to make these fun, cute cocktails, you know, she or he, whoever the child is, could easily want to create the same cocktails but add alcohol in it. Like, what's the difference? I don't know. Not at the birthday party, but maybe when she turns like 15, 16, she might be like, oh, guys, I know how to make this martini that I made when I was like 13. All we need is to add like a little alcohol.
Yeah, and, that's, and they're like at 12 years old.
I know, right?
I was like, know. How'd you pick up this habit? It's like, I just started, I've been going to the bar since I've been.
Oh, God.
10
I've
years
been bartending
old.
Since I was.
Yeah, I've been bartending since I've been 10.
Yeah, that's weird.
And the even more weird question was, like, how can I show these kids and motivate them that they can really make a lot of money, like, doing this? And they see it coming in. And I couldn't understand, you know, like, is she. You know, when you use words interchangeably, like she's like kids and young. And I don't know if it's like they're adult bartenders who are working with kids or mm-hmm. kids bartenders that you know, they're actually kids or actually adults that she could just call kids because they're like younger than her. I don't know how she's like describing it, but basically I thought it was like no one questioned it. So I was like, it just seems so odd.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not for it.
Yeah.
That ain't for me.
Yeah, starting those early habits.
Mm-mm, I'm good. But you know, remember when we were young, we used to eat those little candy cigarettes. Did you ever eat those?
Yeah, I used
to
love those.
You used to act like you smoked.
Those lasted a long time.
Yeah, but they were just like a box full of like these skinny little chalky sticks. You remember?
Yeah, but no, not like that. Red. Those are the cheap ones.
Those are the good ones.
No, the ones that were just like a little grainy toothpick almost.
Oh.
And those looked like it, but it was terrible. There's like one that had like paper around it.
What?
Yeah, it was like a piece of chalk.
Oh, I remember that.
Paper around it.
I didn't eat that one.
Yeah, and then when you, it really.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I didn't eat that. See, I had the fake one. I had the toothpick skinny one, and I would just walk around, blow my little cigarette, you know.
Yeah.
But you know.
You hold it. You have one behind your ear.
Mm-hmm. But I never smoked a cigarette before in my life ever.
I know.
I was peer pressured into smoking one. I think I might have been like 15, 16. Or I might have been 13, actually. There was this girl on my street. Ooh, she was like fast. And I ain't talking about running. I mean, she was like, she was in the streets.
She's a runner. She's a track
star. She one of them. And she would smoke cigarettes all the time. And so I remember she gave it to one of my friends, and my friend smoked it, and she's like coughing. She gives it to me, and I was like, I'm literally looking in the mirror, and I'm like, I can't do it. And they're like, it's just a cigarette. Just do it. I'm like, I just can't. Like, it stinks really bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm holding it, and I'm just like trying to figure out how to hold it. And I'm looking at myself in the mirror, and I'm like, I can't do it. I can't do
it. Were you saying no based on more than just it stinks?
Yeah, it was just, to me, it just was a nasty habit. You know, like when she smoked, her teeth was already yellow, and her breath was always, you know, funky. And so it was just like, I don't want to do it, you know? And it was just like,
I was just licking it, and I put it close to my mouth. I'm like, oh, I can't. So I never smoked a cigarette before.
Did you think that the moment you smoke it, then you're going to be like smoking all the time?
No, I didn't think that at all. But I mean, I didn't need to try it to know if I liked it or not. I could just look at it and smell it and be like, I'm good. You know me. You'd be like, I try this. It could be like, I don't know, candy or whatever. Yeah. I'm already turning my nose up at it. If it looked like, weird, I'm like, I'm good. You're like, you haven't even tried it yet. I'm like, it looked ugly. I don't want to try it, you know?
So yeah. I get that, though. I guess
I was that way with cigarettes, too.
It's good to have that balance.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Kenzo, he kind of picked that up from me, too.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
You offer him something, he'd be like, oh, his head start going backwards. He's like, no.
And I'd be like, I'll try it.
Yeah, I was like, I'll try it. Yeah, he's you. He's more you, and Kenzo has more of my personality.
Yeah.
Yeah, we be putting our foot down.
Man, so where do we go from there?
I know. Well, my business has been doing well. I don't know if you guys really care.
Everyone cares.
Yeah, I know. It's been doing really well.
Because you've been booked and busy.
I know. I had 3 events in 1 weekend. I think last weekend or 2 weekends ago. That was insane. I was nervous too because I didn't know how we was going to pull that off. I'm over here confidently telling people, yeah, of course we can do it at this time on this day. Yes, of course it's available. And then it comes, I'm like, how are we going to do it? How are we going to get there? What's going to happen? You know, but everything worked out great. So
we learned a lot.
We did. And every time we do a picnic, we always learn a lot. So we always know what to improve for like the next time. So it seems like the picnics are getting not easier, but better as far as like the behind the scenes stuff that people don't see. So we're kind of like figuring out as we go. But it's been, we've been learning a lot. So
I wonder though, you know, like let's say it gets super uber successful.
Ooh.
And it gets harder for you to balance a schedule.
Well, May is looking like that. So May, I want to say I'm like 95% booked, and that's based off of my work schedule. I'm already telling people no, you know, whereas April was kind of like everybody wanted the same exact day. So, of course, I had to tell people no. And that's why I ended up having 3 events in 1 weekend, because everybody wanted that one particular day. Whereas May, they're all scattered around, but it's kind of perfect because some people want the weekends and some people want a weekday. And weekdays are so much easier for me to get off and you know, do the events and stuff. But May is, I have a lot of events in May already. And then I think I have like 2 pending ones. So I'm already nervous because I'm like, it's hard for me to, I have to plan all, like most of like the half. Look, I'm nervous. I'm just like.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Trying to be organized.
For real, you get, it makes you anxious a little bit.
Just a little bit because, you know, for me, if I have, let's say, 1 picnic coming up next week, I can easily plan for 1. I can buy everything I need. I can get everything I need. I can be organized for that 1. But when I'm already looking at 7 and then 3 of them are like the first week or first 2 weeks, I'm like, okay, I have to plan for 3 at the same time. So I have to be even more organized. Like, okay, what do I need? What do I have? Let me put this off to the side. And a lot of the stuff I order, so I have to order it in time, you know, and the fact that we're going out of, you know, when we're going out to Hawaii, it's like, that takes a week away from me ordering stuff. So I've been kind of like panic mode a little bit, but I know it's going to work out. It always works out. So I'm not even tripping.
Yeah. I wouldn't even trip on
it. I ain't going to trip. You know what I'm saying? I got,
it's nothing to a G, you know what I mean?
It's nothing to a G, you know, same old G. So I'm really, really, truly excited. I just feel so blessed. And, you know, right before I do a picnic, I'm extremely nervous. As I'm setting up, I'm nervous. But then when I'm done, I'm like fulfilled. Mm-hmm. I'm just so thankful, you know.
Man.
I know you probably hate working with me.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like every time we work together, I tell you like, hey, can you help me with this? And you be like.
No.
It's because you're not getting paid.
No, it's the pressure.
Yeah.
And there's so, like, they're like.
Burst. It's a time crunch too.
Not even all that. It's just like the boxes, not boxes, the pallets.
Ooh, they're so heavy.
So heavy.
Yeah. So
and then we got to take it like a quarter mile.
I know that last one killed. Well, not the last one, but the picnic before last that killed our little bodies, man. We was hurting that entire weekend, but it was so worth it.
Yeah, it was great.
It came out beautiful.
Yeah. But I just remember I was like, all right, so the assembly, on this one isn't like 30 minutes. This one's like...
No, that one took a while.
Yeah, because it was so, like, so much travel.
Yeah, and we had so many pallets because it was, what, a picnic for 15 girls? So we had like about 6 pallets. And those things are huge and heavy. So we had, like you said, a quarter of a mile, I guess, walking back and forth, grabbing one to go back and then go back to grab the other one and then go back. You know, and then at first we carried 2. And it was like 2 of the largest pallets that I have. And I was like, I don't know how we're going to even carry this. And we ended up doing it anyway. I almost broke my little baby wrist. But, you know, it came out beautiful. Like, it was definitely worth it. But then when it was time to do the cleanup, ooh.
I know. It's a whole other thing. Too. Yeah.
Man.
That was the hardest part, actually.
Yeah.
Because I was handling all that, like, the heavy, heavy stuff solo. Because I just wanted to make sure we get out of there.
And I was doing all the cleanup solo. Man, yeah, it's
just, you do not recommend?
No, I do recommend. It's just but the crazy part is the smaller picnics, I don't like. I'm not gonna say I don't like doing. I enjoy doing the big, huge picnics more than I like doing the small ones. The small ones take, like, it's real easy for me to put together. So I'm like, it's like a quick high. Whereas the big ones is like a high that lasts a little bit longer. So it's like, it takes me a while to put it all together. So I don't know, maybe it's that rush that I'm feeling of like trying to get it done, trying to make it look perfect. But then it's like, I'm dealing with this huge, long, you know, table instead of like a short, small, mini table that takes me like, you know, quick and easy just to kind of like put together. So it's like that high is like, it just burns out real quick, man. I guess. So I don't know, but I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun.
Oh, that's live. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a great word I think you should.
What's that?
Homophily.
Homophily?
Yeah, I told you actually this last week. I wonder if you remember what I was just about to say.
Why does that word sound familiar? Yeah. You know I don't remember. I don't remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
So you don't remember? No. Homophily?
Mm-mm.
So it's homophily. P-H-I-L-Y.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it means that when, you know, birds of a feather flock together.
Ooh, yes.
That's homophily. Those who stick to those who are just like them,
mm-hmm,
by characteristic, mm-hmm, remember, gender, socioeconomic, you know, race. It could be anything. And that's homophily. Like, people sometimes need to like understand their own homophily,
mm-hmm,
when it comes to who they prefer. Mm. Because you might have certain biases without even knowing it because of homophily.
Oh, okay. I actually came up with a really cool Instagram. What is it? Tagline, I guess, for a photo. Based off of birds of a feather flock together. But I don't want to say because it's too good and I don't want to take it.
You don't want to take it?
I actually came up with it today and it was like, I actually like shocked myself. I was like, wow, that's really good.
For a caption?
For a caption.
Yeah.
I'm about to tell you when we turn the cameras off.
That's behind the scenes right
behind
there.
Behind the scenes.
You know, it's funny. I thought about, you know, they mentioned about like Patreon where they have like a paywall. Mm-hmm. And then you do like an extra bonus or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And we'll include this type of stuff.
Y'all gonna have to pay for this caption because this caption is, I'm telling you, it's off the chain. It came to my head. I said, let me write this down. I mean, it was really good.
Let me cold. Have your professional caption writer.
I think I should be. I really do. I'll be coming up with some good captions. I used to come up with yours too when you used to post.
Yeah, but you know when someone does like an advertisement or whatever, they do copy, you know, copy?
Mm-mm.
Where they do like the writing. Like if you did like a product, mm-hmm, the person who does a copy is like all the words are going to be written. So they kind of do the promotion, the advertising, they type it all up to see what words would sell.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Okay. So gotcha.
Someone who does copy, mm-hmm, is kind of like that.
Okay.
Where you could be like, hey, I could, you know, do your captions and they'll be like, $15 for premium captions.
Oh my God.
Five for unlimited jackpot of whatever captions you got. Would that ever be? I could never do that. You would?
I would do that. That would be like my little side thing. But see, you would have to have a goofy personality. My captions do not be serious.
They'd be
like, you know, super goofy. But I feel like some people be having like super serious.
I see the chunks and the. What do you think? What do you think about the vulnerability?
It's good, I guess, but I don't read it. That type of stuff does not attract me, and it may, and I'm sure it attracts others. That's why people who do it have like thousands of followers. But me, I'm not clicking to read nothing. Like, I'm literally there to look at photos. Yeah. I'm not there to like learn nothing. I ain't there to learn nothing about you. Yeah. Like, I'm really just there to look at pictures.
Yeah.
And I feel that people are there to look at my photos as well. Like, that's the only reason why I post. Like, I don't think people are there to, like, learn anything about me. I'm talking about, like, my personal page.
I know. So you look at it like a weird strategy when people do that?
No, I think there is a strategy behind it. You know, they want their followers to kind of like connect with them, I guess, and share like the same, oh, like, I'm not alone, I've been through that, you know, whatever that's called. And I think that's pretty cool. But like, you know, for me, I'm just not like, I don't know, I just don't connect with Instagram like that, you know, like as far as me trying to do that for others or me connecting with other people. I don't know, something about, like, I just don't care about making friends and stuff. Yeah, you know what I mean? So I'm not trying to get to know anybody on Instagram. Yeah. I don't want to be friends with anybody on Instagram in real life. Like, I don't know. I'm just kind of like, I'm good where I'm at.
So you have to do like, is it like a profile where some people it's okay for, right? Because think about it. When you go on Instagram or any social media.
Yeah.
And you make like real genuine friends.
Right.
And all that. Like, to me, it seems like, how authentic can that really be? Because, you know, you got people who comment.
Yeah.
Kind of like, hey, trying to get your attention. And they constantly come back you know, to your profile, comment, like. Yeah. Then you start building with them. They start knowing. Mm-hmm. It's like, where's it going to go?
I mean, I think you can find true friendship off of social media. Maybe it might start off fake. I don't know. But if you could find your spouse on social media, then you can find a friend.
I feel like it's harder to find a friend sometimes.
I agree. Because every time I'm following someone, I always see like the same three or four people commenting on their photos, every single photo. I'm like, damn, y'all don't miss a photo. You know, and one person may have 30,000 followers, the other one may have like 6, the other one may have like 100, whatever. But it's the same people that keep commenting on these photos. And I'm like, do y'all have this person's photos on like alerts or something? Because how is it that y'all never miss a photo and y'all constantly comment? But then I did see something like, you know, when you're on Pinterest and they say, oh, like the 6 ways to get people to follow you or something like that. And they always say, make sure you comment on someone's page or pictures who have a lot of followers or something weird like that. So whatever they were saying, the advice that they were giving seemed like it was true, because I keep seeing the same people commenting on other people's photos. I'm like, damn.
That's why I asked, like, what is it all for though? You know, like,
maybe a follow for a follow. I don't know.
Once you get it, it's kind of like, I don't know. Like if you, because if it's from a distance, unless you come together at some point, how far can it really go?
That's true. I mean, you would have to come together. I would think so. But yeah, I ain't trying to meet nobody. Like, I'm good with what I got. I ain't trying to make no new friends. I ain't trying to hang out with nobody. Like, I'm good.
That's great.
I mean, unless I meet you in person and you seem like a cool person, then I'm cool with that. But as far as like going out my way to meet somebody on Instagram and then trying to figure out how we can meet up, I'm not trying to do all that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But you trying to find maids on Craigslist.
Not on Craigslist. I'm over here asking people that I know. I'm like, you got an extra maid that I can borrow? I was asking my cleaning, the guys who do my uniforms, who clean my uniforms. What is that called? Not a laundromat, but a dry cleaner.
Yeah, dry cleaners.
I was talking to the owner today, and I was like, hey, do you know anybody? He was like, look, we just hired a maid and a nanny. The nanny started yesterday. I'm like, do you know?
What do you think about a nanny though? What's up with that?
I mean, well, he said they have a 2-year-old and a 5-month-old. So to me, it makes sense to have a nanny, especially when you have someone, have a baby that young, you know, 2 babies that young. But right now we don't need a nanny. Cause I mean, what do we need a nanny for? Cause they're in school. And then when they come home, it's literally dinner, homework, bath, bedtime. You know what I mean? So what we need a nanny for?
If you had a nanny, they'll be knocked out on the couch.
I know. Sleep. Be watching TV till midnight, eating all the snacks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Homework never done.
Yeah.
You know, so, and even if we did have a nanny for that, she would only be here for what, 2 hours? Mm-hmm. And that's, we're here, you know, so I could see maybe if they were infants or, you know, newborns or whatever, then I probably would need the extra help, but they're 2 grown men. Like, they got it. I mean,
it'd be hard to be a man and said, like, you know, growing up, my nanny.
Oh, I know where that's funny because he actually said that. He said that he had a nanny, I think, when he was like 11 or 12, and then up until he left the house. I was like, for real? That's kind of weird.
Yeah, like going, like saying that you ever came from any like the mud or gone through it.
But you had a nanny. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that means that, like, bare minimum, you're good.
Yeah, because nannies are expensive.
Yeah.
Why don't we get back on this subject? Nannies, maids. We must really want one. Or maybe I really want one.
A nanny and a maid?
Not a nanny. Not no nanny. I could do a maid, though. But she can't live here. That's for sure. Just once every few weeks, just to come help me out. Look, I'll help clean with you.
Man, you know, I heard this great thing.
What's that?
They're doing these tiny home communities.
Oh, cute. Made out of those little containers?
I'm not sure if they're made out of those containers, but they're doing it in Houston. And I forgot the it's like Community First.
Oh, okay.
And basically, it's like a large community of like 1,400 small homes.
Oh, that's a huge community. That's not small.
Yeah. And okay. they have Alamo Draft House Theater.
Okay, kind of like they what have we
counseling
have here.
Services.
Oh wow!
Yeah, they have entrepreneurship center. They have like a health and wellness something cafeteria. I know.
What is this? A community?
Yeah. Well, it's for the homeless.
Oh, did you say that already?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, dang. I wasn't listening. I'm sorry. For the homeless. Yeah, for the homeless.
Maybe I didn't say it, but yeah, homeless.
Okay, yeah. Because I thought you meant just like, you said tiny homes. And I was like, okay, making tiny homes like for what? Just like a community? So for the homeless.
Yeah, for the homeless.
Okay, so they live there for free. And
I think, yeah, they live there for free.
I hope so, yeah.
And they says for the chronically homeless.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, they live there and they have all the services they need.
Wow.
Yeah, basically. And they have a community garden. They have all these different type of activities. And they said the way that they try to open it up, mm-hmm. right, is that you have to understand that, you know, a lot of these people are very diverse,
mm-hmm.
you know, white, black, trans, Hispanic, right. Everything you could ever think of,
mm-hmm.
and wealthy before.
Mm-hmm.
You said loss of, like, sudden loss of family.
Yeah.
Is a usual reason for
homelessness.
Mm-hmm. And they replaced that part with something else.
What's that?
Like,
community?
Some level of community. And they said they invite people in because they said, oh, before you'll see under bridges, they'll smell like urine, there'll be like feces. But mm-hmm. in this community, it's like blossoming. It looks beautiful. Aww. And everyone, he says he's so lucky because he lives and works with some of the most diverse place probably on this planet.
Wow. So the community already opened or is starting to open?
Yeah. And they're going to bring another community to Austin. But I think this was in Austin, not Houston.
Okay.
In Austin.
Yeah. Houston don't seem that nice.
Yeah. I think they're trying to institute it too.
Wow, that's kind of dope. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. So they don't have to worry about like grocery shopping, or they just go grocery shopping and everything's free? Like,
I think they help set them up, like whether it be government programs.
Okay.
I think that's that
makes
how.
Sense. Maybe like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Really? You could tell someone like, hey, why be homeless here when you could be in this community? And it's
right, exactly.
Like, it would draw people to go there.
Yeah, but if it only houses 1,400 people, or it has 1,400 houses that have like one or two bedrooms.
Has 1,400 houses.
Okay.
I think so.
So I wonder how that works. If it's like a one bedroom or a two bedroom, you know, like how many people does it house? And then like...
Oh, and they pick up trash and everything in the area too.
And then that's another thing. Like, how long are these people supposed to stay? Like forever until they pass away?
No, I think they get them out of it.
Oh.
Like a program. Oh,
that's dope. I like that. Wow.
I know.
And help them find jobs and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think, they have the centers. They have the job centers. They
but
have
why
everything.
Would they want to leave, though? Why would they want to go into the real world?
Go to work.
You know what I mean? Yeah, go to work and pay bills and stuff when they had literally everything free. Because, look, in that community, the grass is green. You got flowers and you got a garden.
But why not stay there then?
Exactly. I guess
maybe there is an opportunity for them to stay there.
That's like going to jail. You got everything you need. And then when you get out, you're like, I'm going to go right back in.
You want to go back? You would want to go back to jail.
That's a lot of people who in and out of jail. They be like, nah, I'm going to go right back because I'm familiar with jail. I ain't familiar with what's going on outside these gates. But yeah, if you lived in this little homeless community, that sounds beautiful. You know, why would you want to go out there and work and, you know, pay bills? I mean, I'm not all people. To me, the way it sounds like I would want to be there forever. Sounds like I would just be catered to, you know, I'll be living in a beautiful community. I ain't got to worry about no noisy neighbors or people trying to rob me. It just seems very like stress free.
And then stress free sounds, you know what I mean? Crazy in there.
Yeah. And then they kick you out and say, all right, we got you all situated. Here's your driver's license. You know, this way you're going to be working at this, your new apartment. Then I'd be like, so who going to help me pay my bills? Like, who going to set up my auto pay? Like, I ain't got no bank. Like, I'm sure I got a bank account, but I don't know. It just seems like,
I know,
a
your
lot.
Whole life, like, it's like pretty dramatic.
Yeah. It seems like you're a child and you just, your parents just kicked you out at 18, told you to go figure it out. And then you're like, I don't know what the hell to do. But I'm sure you can call the community. I'm sure they will help you. You know, I'm sure they will help you every program. Step of the way. Yeah, there's a program. Once you get out, like, this is what you do, you know. I would hope so. But, I mean, it sounds all amazing. I'm all for it.
Yeah, no, I think it has Community First in Austin.
That's dope. I'm going to have to look that up. That sounds pretty cool.
It sounds really great.
Yeah, one of my, I mentioned this, I think last time on the podcast, one of my coworkers, she's super passionate about the homeless. So I'm going to have to, once I get information on it, because I really want to read up on it, I'll let her know, and I'm sure she'll be all over it.
Wow.
Yeah, she loves that type of stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna send you the info after this.
He said he gonna send me the info like we don't live together.
No, you know how people say it. I'm gonna put the info in the bio.
So you have all the info. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, that would be dope if you did that though, so people can go out and maybe donate.
Yeah, yeah. Donate, take a look at it. Yeah, you know, and visit it. It's in Texas.
See, that's kind of cool too.
Yeah, and that's a good little place to be. Austin.
Oh, I like Austin. I do. Yeah. I've only been a couple of times, but I do like it there.
That sounds good. It's really small, though.
Is it? Is it really small?
The smallest.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then, so it's like Houston. Mm-hmm. And I think Dallas.
Oh, Houston is bigger than Dallas?
Yeah, Houston has like 3.something million residents.
Billion or million?
Million.
Oh, okay, okay.
And then Dallas has like 1.9 or like 2.1 or something like that.
Oh, wow. I would think it would be the opposite.
Yeah, Dallas is a little bit smaller.
Okay, come on, Z-Town.
Per capita.
Z-Town.
Oh, my Lord. You know, someone asked, do you know how they break down like per capita?
Mm-mm.
You ever hear that when people say it? Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like, depending on how large. So when they said that 3 out of 4 people per capita, you know, are infected with this, whatever.
Yeah.
They're trying to say that, well, it might sound bad in like LA because they have like 5 million people or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, in another town where you're saying that, you know, it's a bigger percentage of people who are getting sick or something like that, you're like, oh my God, it's spreading everywhere. But that town's only 100,000. So they say like per capita. So
that makes sense.
2/3 per capita in this place or something like that, because it's depending on the size. So you don't weigh everyone the same.
Oh, I see. So you learn something new every day.
I could be wrong. There's some math guy on here.
I know,
like,
right?
Oh my God, this is, I have to email. Email them.
He's spreading false information.
Yeah, he's spreading fake news. That's
fake news. Oh my God.
Man, anything else you want to share with the people?
No, y'all just stay safe out there. Keep them eyes in the back of y'all heads, because people out here wilding, they acting crazy.
Yeah, and happy 420 to everybody.
Today is 420. How did I forget? There's no way that I would have forgotten.
We turned up a little bit, but...
Don't be telling people our business.
No, I'm just letting people know.
Oh, yeah, that we ain't no squares. There's some squares over there.
Nah, it's just, you know. Yeah, it's a good day.
Today was a good day. Today was a good day. Ain't complaining.
Well... as you know, we really love that you all joined us.
We did. I mean, we do. Yes.
Yeah. And I hope y'all enjoy your day.
Come on now.
Or your night.
Come on now.
And your upcoming weekend.
Come on now.
Let's go. We'll see y'all later. Peace. remember that leadership is about making others better. So go out there and help somebody. Peace out.